Commissioner Custodio.
Here.
Commissioner Gonzalez.
Here.
Commissioner Perez. Commissioner Tartaglia.
Here.
Chairman Hudson.
Here. We move now to the public comment time. Is there anyone that would like to speak from the public? Okay. No one is indicating that they'd like to speak. Let's move to the consent agenda. Item number one, minutes of the special meeting that was held on January the 30th, 2014. Have you had a chance to review those minutes? Are there any comments, changes to those minutes? I would entertain a motion to accept those minutes.
I move.
We have a motion. Can we have a second?
I second the motion.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed?
I will abstain because I wasn't present.
Mr. Tartaglia was not present. At this time, we'd like to move to public hearing number two, consideration of conditional use permit application number 2014-1, authorizing the sale of beer and wine, and you can read the rest. Ellen, would you like to speak to that, please?
Yes, I would. Thank you, Chairman, members of the Planning Commission. Ellen Moore, Assistant Planner with the Community Development Department. Item number two, which is before you tonight, is conditional use permit application number 2014-01 and the related environmental assessment. To provide a brief overview of the project, the applicant is Dolgen, California, also known as Dollar General. The address is 1602 10th Street, so that's where the Salvation Army used to be. It's on a 0.43 acre property. The existing planned land use is central downtown commercial. And the existing zoning is central and community commercial. So this is an aerial site plan of the property. The site is 1602 10th Street on the corner of 10th and F Street. Just to kind of go through the previous entitlement process before the item tonight, staff has worked with Dollar General to get their store into the city of Reedley. The first step that they went through was getting an administrative review application. Which authorized the use of a grocery variety retail store within the existing building located at 1602 10th Street. And that authorization of the use was approved with a condition stating that if alcohol intended to be sold, a CUP is required. So just to reiterate the project description, this conditional use application pertains to the sale of beer and wine for off-site consumption, which is an ABC Type 20 license within a 10,800 square foot grocery and variety retail store at 1602 10th Street. The operational statement, which is also in your packets tonight, stated that the alcohol sales area will not exceed 10% of the gross floor area of the store, and there will be surveillance cameras. And the employees will go through ABC training, and they'll also enter the birth date of anyone that's purchasing alcohol. This is also in your packets. It's Exhibit B. This is the floor plan of the proposed Dollar General, and the yellow highlighted area is the alcohol area it'll be on display. This use is consistent with the central downtown commercial land use designation pursuant to the 2030 general plan, and it's also this is a conditional use under chapter 25 of our code, which is consistent use within the CC zone district. And also to be consistent with our zoning ordinance, there's noticing requirements involved because this is a CUP, so a public hearing notice was published on March 30th, 2014 in the Reedley Exponent, and the notice was also mailed to surrounding property owners. And there were no written comments that were received, but at 12:30 this afternoon, there was a voicemail. I got a voicemail. The person didn't disclose their name or address. They stated that they were a property owner nearby, and they were in opposition of the sale of alcohol near their property because they were afraid of bottles being thrown at their windows, which was a residential site. So they had that comment, but they couldn't be in attendance tonight. To quickly go through the environmental assessment, the establishment of this use is categorically exempt under sections 15301 because it's an existing facility in Reedley, and section 15332, which is because this is an infill development project, less than 5 acres, consistent with the general plan and zoning, and it's within an urban area that's been developed. So tonight, staff's recommendation is to approve environmental assessment number 2014-5, which is a categorical exemption under those two sections, and to approve conditional use permit application number 2014-1, authorizing the sale of beer and wine for off-site consumption within a 10,800 square foot grocery and variety retail store, as stated in resolution number 2014-02 in your packets. Do we have a question? Or sorry, this concludes staff's report. I can take any questions.
Okay. Mr. Tartaglia. Where specifically is that building located?
The building's on the corner of 10th and F Street.
Salvation Army.
Where the Salvation Army used to
Salvation
be.
Salvation Army.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're currently doing tenant improvements there right now.
Okay.
Fitness class, I suppose. Yeah. On that map you showed, Ellen, it said... Mm-hmm. In the parking lot, it said
no build.
Does that just mean there's no building there, or mm-hmm. is it, you're not allowed to build?
That's correct. There's no building there. That's the parking
okay, that
lot.
Just that just means there's no building.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, that's the parking lot that'll be serving the, the building. Yes.
So when we, if we approve this, so we're changing something there. Does that change the parking situation, or is the parking situation still appropriate for what's going to be done?
That's correct. Yeah, the parking is still appropriate. When the administrative review was done, the site was looked at as well to make sure that the parking requirements were fulfilled and everything, and they are. They actually had a couple extra.
Okay.
So if I might add, just to make sure we get on the record, what's being asked is authorization of a commodity to be sold. It doesn't change the physical environment at all in terms of the requirements of, you know, more parking or any other adjustments, if you will, to the building. And they are going through a tenant improvement. And if you do get a chance, there have been great improvements to the building. They painted it this morning. It looks, it does look really nice. So it's been quite an improvement to that block.
Is that the one that had the mural on the back?
Yes. They left it.
Oh, they left it.
They left the mural. Okay. I just passed by there, and it looks good. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
How close is the nearest vendor who sells alcohol to take home from that area? Do you know? I'm trying to think of others in that area. Kevin, do you know?
That's Chevron? That's a good question.
Yeah.
The Chevron?
That's the only thing I could think of.
Do you know if the 76 on 10th?
No, they don't sell.
They don't sell? But there's a ShopQuick not that far away.
Well, actually, from the 76, about 3 or 4 blocks down, there is that. It's the really...
Borges Market.
Yeah.
Okay.
But what, quarter mile?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this would be the...
Always Jadoons, if you can find a way.
Furthest north, I guess.
Whenever Don decides to come in.
Sorry. Jadoons,
yeah. That's it. Just wanted to compare with other places.
Sure.
There's residential in between all those areas, so.
Mm-hmm. Is the one by the high school that California Market or something? Mm-hmm. I don't think they have off sale. It's just.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't believe they have off sales.
Thank you, Ellen.
Thank you.
Okay. Any questions, comments?
No.
Sounds pretty clear.
Might want to open it up to the public, or maybe the applicant would like to speak?
Good evening. My name is Steve Rawlings, and I'm here on behalf of Dollar General Stores. And for the record, I actually just wanted to come up and say that we concur with the staff report and agree to all of the conditions of approval as proposed to you this evening. We're certainly very excited about being in the town of Reedley. We have several other stores throughout the Central Valley. Some are within driving distance of here, and our stores have been very, very well received. For those of you that don't know a lot about Dollar General, we have about 11,000 stores nationwide. And we're relatively new to California by about 2 years. I think we have now open about 150 stores, and that's all the way from, you know, Eureka all the way down toward Southern California where I'm from. But we have a number of stores here in the Central Valley that have been very, very well received by Californians, and we're excited to be here in Reedley. We really like the charm of a more of a downtown type of store. Sometimes we're in communities and we're kind of in suburbia, and you know, it's nice to be able to open a store once in a while in a more of a true downtown. We have a lot of stores on the East Coast, and the East Coast has a lot of these types of downtowns, and we have a lot of those stores. And I have been representing Dollar General for about 2 years, and this is one of the first couple that we've had that's been a downtown location, and it's really exciting. So hopefully it'll be a great asset to your community, and I'm here to answer any questions that you may have about our operations or the company.
Steve, I would imagine you have some numbers.
Certainly.
Retail type numbers and traffic. How much can you tell us about how much traffic you would anticipate there?
Well, we certainly would like to have millions of customers every single day, but we don't have that many that many clients. You know, we do probably get 400 to 500, you know, customers, you know, each and every day, and we open our stores at 8 o'clock and we close them at 10 o'clock, and they ebb and they flow. Our target customers are typically females that are there shopping for a family, so they still have children at home. That's our typical customer. That's not to say that we don't have customers of all varieties there, but if you ever walk into a Dollar General store, predominantly you'd find, if there's 10 people in there, then you probably find that 7 of those are women, and they're probably shopping for their entire family. And that ebbs and flows throughout the day. We have some people, they might be dropping off kids from school, so we get kind of busy between 8:30 and you know, 10 o'clock. They want to get their shopping done and then go on with the rest of their day. Other times we have a surge, sometimes, you know, after school or in the evening hours. It does flow throughout the day relatively evenly. We don't have any periods that we could honestly say are our real peak periods. I mean, some of them are pretty logical, right after work, you know, between 5 and 6:30, we have usually a little bit of a rush, but kind of throughout the day. And I hope that answers your question.
Uh-huh. 7 days a week?
7 days a week.
And about how many staff would you have on average?
It will fluctuate between 5 and 10 people at the store. Weekends we'll probably staff up a little bit more because we will have more weekend traffic. So that's one you might see us have a few more people. And then during the holiday seasons, you know, on a Saturday during the holidays, especially if you're really getting close to, say, Christmas, and you got a lot of extra shopping going on, then that's when you might see more like 10 people there. But typically it'll be, you know, 5 or 6 people, depending on, you know, the day of the week and the time.
Steve, what kind of product? Well, I know we're talking about the alcohol permit, but what kind of product does Dollar General provide to the communities? I'm not too familiar with them, so.
I brought a brochure.
Perfect.
Would you guys like to see it?
I thought you were going to say you brought some product.
All right.
I do have exactly 5 of these. And,
thank you.
Well, there's 4 of you here tonight, and I do have an extra one.
Thank you. Oh, thanks.
Follow along.
And I appreciate you asking that, and I have been really, it's been a lot of fun the last couple of years working with the Dollar General folks and introducing their stores to various communities throughout California. And I frequently am asked, what is Dollar General? And in California, we connotate the word dollar not necessarily in the most, you know, positive light, but Dollar General was founded in the 50s. If you lived on the East Coast, if you lived in like North Carolina, you would know exactly what Dollar General is. There are hundreds and hundreds of those stores throughout the Southeast, and like I said, we're new to California by about 2 years now. We carry all of the same types of products you might find in a regular grocery store. We carry laundry detergent, and we carry Tide and Cheer and those other brands. We carry toothpaste, we carry milk, we carry eggs, we carry pasta and pasta sauce. So we do consider ourselves to be a one-stop shop for those day-to-day household items that we all consume. And we are successful because you can get all of those things in less than 10 minutes, which is really important to the soccer moms or the, you know, Girl Scout moms, whatever you want to label them as, is the moms that are out there shopping for the family. It's real important that they can get out and get in and out in 10 minutes. They can pick up the laundry detergent that they need. They can pick up some cereal. They can pick up some paper towels, those things that we need every single day. And they know that they're going to get them at competitive prices. When we have 11,000 stores, trust me, when we call the company that makes Tide and say, hey, we'd like to make an order, trust me, they're pretty excited. We ship a lot of product out, and we get very, very competitive prices. And so people come to our stores knowing that they can pretty much find everything that they're looking for, and it's going to be very, very competitively priced. We don't carry, if you walk into like a big supermarket, try this sometime. Stand in front of the toothpaste aisle and start counting up how many different SKUs you could buy of toothpaste. You've got Crest and Colgate and Pepsodent and AIM. Then you got Tartar Control. You got mint jelly flavor. You've got regular flavor. You got blah, 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 blah. Then you got the tiny size, you got the medium size, and you got the family size. And pretty soon, you'll realize that you get to there's like 50 choices of those. You come to a Dollar General, you won't find 50 tubes of toothpaste to buy. But you will probably find 15 or 20. We work closely with like the Crest Company and Colgate. We find out what are the most popular items that are sold, because not everybody wants to buy Tartar Control. Not everybody buys the mint gel flavor, et cetera, et cetera. So what we do is we work with those manufacturers very, very closely to find out which size and which actual product of theirs sells the most. And that's what we put into our shelves. And we do that over and over and over again, whether it be, you know, regular soap, laundry detergent, toothpaste. And that's how we're able to fit all of those types of products in a 10,000 square foot footprint store, compared to a grocery store that might have like, you know, 40,000 square feet. But we do offer all of those products, and it's a really good concept, like I said, that's been very, very well received. We've got very, very good management team. We have very, very good and strict employee policies, and we employ, I think, close to 100,000 people. And we take our business extremely seriously, and I think you'll find that we're a very, very clean operator that your community will embrace, just like so many of the others have. Sorry, with that.
I see something here in your basket. You have Huggies.
We sell a lot of diapers, a lot of baby formula.
Kind of an inside joke. There was a Kimberly Clark, somebody tacked on Muggies.
Oh, okay.
some heads rolled over that one.
Would you be kind enough to leave your business card?
Yeah, certainly will.
A couple of them?
Yeah.
Should we find other opportunities, we'd like to make sure we can reach out and give you a call.
Certainly. And I will say this, I did get a chance to review your conditions of approval, mostly from your police department. Those are very, very good conditions of approval. They're very good public policy. I would encourage every community that if you're dealing with any business that does sell alcohol, that you do require a conditional use permit, so you do have an opportunity to take a little closer look at their operation. Things like no single sales, very good public policy. I happen to be a father of four sons, and I served on a planning commission myself in my community for about 8 years, and I did get a chance to read these, and I see other communities with their conditions of approvals, and you guys seem to have a pretty good handle on those things, and so I applaud your staff for putting together a pretty make sense package that's reasonable for retailers, but yet it adds a real good layer of protection for your community.
Okay. Further questions or thoughts? Thank you very much. Okay. Take a look at resolution number 201402 incorporates the environmental evaluation number 2014-05 in the recommendation on the agenda. It's called an assessment, so I would imagine an evaluation and assessment are one and the same. And then it also incorporates the conditional use permit application number 201401. So there's two things in that one resolution. Okay. And if you're okay, we'll just take it one action.
Yep.
Okay. Would entertain a motion regarding resolution number 2014-02.
Also move.
We have a motion to approve resolution number 2014-02. Do we have a second?
I second that.
Okay, we have a second. Could we take a roll call vote?
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes.
And Chairman Perez is absent.
He's absent.
And Chairman Tartaglia?
Yes.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
And we have, we should have four yeses.
You have four yeses. Okay,
four yeses.
These guys over here, they speak so softly, I can't follow them either.
Is this better?
They thought they all got raises.
Sorry.
All right. We have four yeses. Okay, thank you very much. And Ellen, are you going to speak to the next one also? Or, I'm sorry.
Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you very much.
And do you want to speak to the next one?
Yes, I will.
Ellen, or, okay.
Okay, so item number three before you tonight is text amendment application number 2014-01, and let me find it here. So this is a text amendment to four chapters of the Reedley Municipal Code of Title 10, and I'll go into those four in just a second. But just to kind of go through a little bit of background, staff has presented a plan to do a series of zoning code updates, and the first of which was the sign ordinance, which was presented to this commission in November of last year. And so that was adopted, and it's been in effect for a couple months now. So this is the next phase of our series of Reedley Municipal Code updates. And the overall intent of this proposed text amendment is to implement the recently adopted General Plan 2030 and also the recently adopted 2008 to 2015 housing element. And in addition to that, this and all of the text amendments are to help create a more user-friendly zoning ordinance for developers to use, for staff to use, for anyone who wishes to read it or look at it to use. Going into a little bit more detail, these are the four chapters, and I'll start in order. The first proposed amendment is to Chapter 6B, specifically Section 5A of the Reedley Municipal Code, pertaining to the one-family residential zone district, also more commonly known as the single-family zone district. This pertains to the minimum lot size of any property that's in this zone district. The current standard is has a minimum lot size of 6,000 square feet, and so staff is recommending this be the new minimum lot size to be 5,000 square feet to allow for future development, a residential development to occur that meets the new residential density requirements set forth in the adopted General Plan 2030. So the densities are a little bit higher in this new general plan. So in order to accommodate for that and to maintain consistency between both documents, we're recommending a 5,000 square foot minimum lot size. The next chapter proposed to be amended is chapter 13, and that is to add a new section entitled mixed use. So this text amendment application is introducing mixed use standards and findings and more information and intent of mixed use. Mixed use is just as it is. It's a mix of uses, commercial, office, residential, even light industrial uses, all on one property. So these will be more dense and orderly developments. There's an emphasis on pedestrian activity because with the mix of uses, you don't always have to drive to where you need to go. So it's important to have pedestrian activity and have things more at a human scale as opposed to a vehicular scale. So this section adds development standards, land use densities that need to be followed if residential uses are included in a mixed-use development, and certain findings depending on what zone district the mixed use is implemented in. Last but not least, staff is proposing to repeal and replace Chapter 25, which is the list of permitted and conditional use matrix. The intent of this, of the repealing and replacing, is to implement and be consistent with the two general plan documents. To clarify the purpose and application of the chapter, because in our existing matrix there isn't a purpose or application, or there isn't really an explanation of what the matrix is, why it's being used, and how it should be used. Not all of the zone districts are included in the current matrix that we have, and there are no references to other sections of the Reedley Municipal Code. So if there are additional standards that that people need to know about, they might never know about them because they're not referenced. And also more land use categories that have come about in recent years or have become more common, those should also be added because they do not exist now. This is our zoning map, just to give you an idea of where some of these zone districts are located. The downtown and along 11th Street, in addition to on Manning Avenue and towards the entrance of or the entrance on Manning Avenue towards, or East Manning Avenue, where the new monument is, that kind of area. Those are all zoned as central and community commercial, which is kind of provides the greatest variety of land uses. So just kind of keep that in mind when you are or have looked over the proposed matrix. And CS and the office districts are a little bit, there isn't as much of them as the CC district. So this is just kind of providing a brief overview of where the zone districts are. So this is our existing Chapter 25. As you can see, it doesn't have all of the zone districts listed. There aren't really any references. It's categorized in alphabetical order, so it might be a little tricky to go through if you have a specific land use category that you're looking for. So to kind of go over what the process was to draft or this new Chapter 25. Staff added all of the zone districts that are included in the zoning ordinance but aren't specifically mentioned in this matrix. We also added more land use categories. We also looked at what uses were by right versus whether they were conditional. And by right, meaning that it would just be a site plan review that's required as opposed to getting a conditional use permit if it was a conditional use. And Chapter 25 also adds a section for mixed use, and then it also references the section that is proposed to be added, which is Title 10, Chapter 13, Section 9. So this is kind of a little chart to kind of explain whether by right versus conditional, kind of how staff comes to that conclusion. And these can kind of be switched around however you want. It's kind of a case-by-case basis, but kind of looking at like a retail store for garden supplies with outdoor storage, you kind of think at think that is a shop with parking, and that's about it. It's not saying that this isn't in an order of importance or anything, but this is just kind of, it's a smaller intensity, and the nature of the land use isn't very, like, compared to the other things on here. It's just kind of, it's self-explanatory. So it would, if it's a brand new, or if it's a property that doesn't have building on it, it would be a site plan review. So we would still see the path of travel and everything on there, but it wouldn't require a CUP. A restaurant is also another example. Unless it's selling alcohol, then you'd get a CUP. And then the automotive repair, including bodywork, that kind of shop, we would look at path of travel a little bit more, but that would still be under site plan review. And so then you hit the threshold between site plan review and CUP, and so you kind of go into things like a movie theater, which creates a lot of traffic, you need a lot of parking, and you need to look at the path of travel for that as well. And since it's a large use, if it's like a 6, 7, 8 screen movie theater, you'd probably want the public to weigh in on it, as well as alcohol sales. That nature of land use is kind of up there already, and it requires a CUP, as we have witnessed tonight. And at the top, a service station, convenience store, and automatic car wash. That's three uses, so it's a high variety of uses. And with the automatic car wash, you'd have to look at drainage issues and path of travel, like where cars are going to wait to get repaired, where they will be, how they'll get out, et cetera, et cetera. So this is kind of an explanation of where that threshold is and how staff has laid out the land use matrix and used these uses as an example. So this is the proposed chapter 25. As you can see, there are references to each section. This is just the office commercial table. There's three tables, one for residential, one for office commercial, and one for industrial. So the top one, you can see that the mixed-use development is on there, and it is permitted. It is a by right use in all zone districts in the related to commercial and office, and it's also a conditional use in the light industrial district. And the Chapter 13, Section 9 provides findings that need to be made in order for that conditional use permit to be approved and for mixed-use development to be established in a light industrial district. So that is what the proposed Chapter 25 would look like. Quick overview of public outreach, just as
Excuse me, can we go back to that last slide?
Sure.
If you don't mind, and I'm sorry to interrupt.
Not at all, go ahead.
Just for the commission's benefit, the way most zone district, zoning ordinance are constructed, is that within each of those zone districts, as they're identified across the top, is a list of by right uses and conditional uses, as Alan has eloquently instructed us as to how all that works. In the case of Reedley, we put it all in this chapter. And the thing that I would like to call to your attention is the P obviously represents permitted use. The C is a conditional use. But what's also important to note in this is anywhere there's a blank really means you can't do it. So it really kind of makes sense if you think about, in this case, where it talks about a nightclub, bar, lounge, probably is something you don't want in a professional office zone district. So I call that to your attention because there's another perspective in this chart that, you know, unless you use it like we do every day, just wouldn't jump out at you. So it's really not only what's permitted, but what's permitted with a condition of use and what is not permitted. So the blanks represent what is not permittable in that zone district. So I just kind of wanted to point that out to the commission. We don't have a section in the code that, for example, some codes have sections that are referred to as expressly prohibited. We don't really have that in our code. This takes that place, if you will, and when it says a blank, it's just, you can't do whatever that use is in that corresponding zone district. Does that make sense? Thanks for the interruption. Sorry about that.
No, that's okay. No, thank you. And I would also like to point out that I did mention earlier that an explanation of the use matrix isn't existing now in the current matrix. But if you look at the ordinance number 2014-001, which is the attachment and which is the proposed text amendment, if you look at section 10-25-1, it explains, you know, what this matrix is, and then section 2 is what Kevin just explained. It lays out the P means the permitted use or by right use, C conditional blank prohibited. So that is now included, and it kind of just lays everything out for you. Going to public outreach, as we did for the advisory, for the sign ordinance last year, we had an advisory panel, which was made up of business owners and members of the development community. We sent this to them to provide comments and feedback, and there were a couple of people that got back to us, and things that we incorporated, things that we acknowledged, were put into this the matrix. In addition, as required, a public hearing notice was published in the Readley Exponent on March 20th. Just to kind of, in closing, the goal of this proposed text amendment is to increase flexibility for infill development and provide and fill vacancies, because by adding more uses, by adding more by right or permitted uses in certain places, that can kind of fill vacancies where that use was prohibited before or where it wasn't mentioned in the zoning ordinance, so it was kind of ambiguous. So the intent of this matrix is to help to provide a more variety of uses throughout Readley, and thus by having more versatile zone districts. As mentioned, this text amendment will be consistent with the goals and policies of the General Plan 2030 update, and this will also implement the housing element. Just to also add, because mixed use will, if there's more residential uses, then that will help the city meet its housing needs if more mixed use development is developed in Readley. To briefly go over the environmental assessment, on February 25th, 2014, our final EIR for our general plan was certified. And pursuant to that, the city is, as the lead agency, has determined that no effects would occur as a result of this text amendment. So there won't be any new effects that would occur that were not already examined in the program EIR. So the program EIR kind of umbrellaed, if you will. And so this text amendment won't be caught in the rain. It'll be all the effects were already examined. And no new effects would occur or new mitigation measures would be required. So staff's recommendation is that the Planning Commission finds that no new environmental document is required for this project pursuant to sections 15162 and 15168C2 of the CEQA guidelines. And staff recommends approval to the City Council of text amendment number 2014-01, which proposes to amend the Readley Municipal Code, Title 10, Chapter 6B, Chapter 13, Chapter 22, and Chapter 25. And you can see this recommendation and the findings in resolution number 2014-3 in your packets. And that concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions.
Questions? As I went through the report, I was fuzzy on the by right use.
Mm-hmm.
You did a nice job of putting the words to it. The graph helped, the chart helped.
Good.
But let's go just a little bit deeper so I make sure I really understand it. On page 3 of the staff report, at the very bottom, it says, for example,
mm-hmm.
Okay, a restaurant without alcohol,
mm-hmm.
is a by right use in the commercial zone district, but a restaurant with alcohol consumption will require a conditional use permit. So what makes that, without the alcohol, a by right use?
Well, the...
Am I asking that correctly?
What triggers the conditional use permit in that case is the alcohol, the sale of alcohol, or the consumption on the premises, because that's what would warrant a CUP because of the public hearing notice requirements and everything. So if it was just a restaurant, it would be a permitted use, because there isn't, I don't know if I'm going to say this correctly, but there isn't really anything that kind of triggers the CUP if it's a building with parking, if the nature of the use is just a restaurant, just serving food, that doesn't warrant
a
CUP.
So the use or the consumption of alcohol or the ability to sell the alcohol?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yes.
Makes it more intense? Does that go along with the word up mm-hmm. atop? Well, so it makes it more intense
mm-hmm.
because why?
Can I help you out here?
You sure can. Thank you.
So think about it this way. If, let's just take a city block that has a particular zone district, okay? And whatever zone district you like, you know, CC, CS, whatever it is. There's, when we develop the idea of kind of the baseline or the by right uses, we kind of create a set of assumptions that are applicable to all of those uses. Any of those uses. So you gave the example of a restaurant. Mm-hmm. Well, within that baseline, a restaurant next to a Starbucks, next to a dry cleaner is no different. They're all the same. They bring in about the same amount of people. You have kind of the same amount of turnover, the same amount of parking.
So
you've kind of looked at the commonality of the intensification as that being the baseline. As Ellen did a really great job about showing that chart to you where there's a threshold. Mm-hmm. When you cross that threshold, that's when you jump into the CUP. So in the case I just gave, where, you know, all of a sudden Starbucks starts selling, you know,
alcohol.
25-cent shots, you know, on Thursday night.
They would never do that.
Hey, this is my story, man. Come on.
Well, they're actually looking into alcohol.
Never know.
But but the point being is, as you can imagine, so all of a sudden you've introduced something that has created that intensification, you know, that you have the potential for drawing larger crowds. They stay longer. They consume more alcohol. There's a likelihood of, you know, and I'm not trying to, you know, for the purposes of this story and illustration, I'm, you know, qualifying my comments, but, you know, the potential use of alcohol may warrant security guards or police or those kinds of things. So you can see how just that the introduction of that one little thing kind of pushes over that threshold. It would be the same thing as you had a 2,000 square foot Starbucks, a 1,500 foot Subway, and now next to a 25,000 square foot restaurant. That 25,000 square foot creates that kind of increased intensification. So that's what she's really talking about is, you know, when we created the zone districts, there's that baseline of intensification. And it's that threshold that kicks you up into the CUP. Does that help explain it?
So it could be alcohol than obvious. It could be larger,
mm-hmm.
more
volume,
something.
Exactly.
More traffic, more cars, more.
Mm-hmm. So it would be the same thing as if you took a gas station, just straight up gas station, right? They pump gas. They have, now you add a convenience to it. Now you add a a car wash. And with each of those, you can see how that intensification increases. And, you know, all the way to the point where we are concerned about water consumption, drainage, what goes into those systems, you know. So that's another maybe good example of how that intensification occurs.
So, for example, if the 76 wanted to become all that what you're talking about, then they would have to file for conditional use.
Well, what we would, the way that...
Just hypothetical.
Yes, you would think so.
Okay.
Again, when you look in the code, how it's all constructed, you know, we're trying to give you the logic as to how it was constructed. To be honest with you, I think she's got it exactly right, where you start with, you know, a service station convenience and it's an automatic car wash, clearly represents the need for a CUP because of its intensification at the higher end of that limit within the zone district. Anything more than that service station convenience store and automatic car wash would actually kick you into the next zone district because they're based on intensification as well.
Okay.
So that was a great question. Thank you. Did I answer your question?
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. Okay. Comments, folks? Questions?
Mr. Chairman, if you don't mind, I'd love to just take a moment and commend Ellen for her hard work. I know it probably seems really easy to look at this list, but to sit and actually think from a community perspective about what fits based on those zone districts and baselines and where those thresholds are is really, really a tough job. I've done it, and we've had lots of conversations about, well, what about this or what about that, or, you know, did you think about this? Or we get a phone call with something we never even imagined. And so not only has she been extremely flexible in putting this together, but very thoughtful in how to put this together in a way that works best for Reedley. So, you know, I just like to commend Ellen for a job really, really well done in putting all this together.
Thank you very much.
Okay, so let's turn our attention to resolution number 2014-03, correct, Ellen?
Yes, that's correct.
Okay. I would entertain a motion to accept resolution number 2014-03.
Motion to approve.
We have a motion. Do we have a second?
I'll second the motion.
We have a second. Take a roll call.
Commissioner Custodio?
Yes.
Commissioner Gonzalez?
Yes.
Commissioner Tartaglia?
Yes.
Chairman Hudson?
Yes. Okay. That concludes the staff recommendations. We have some reports.
Of course. Well, since Ellen was so brief, I've got a tall order to fill here now. It is my pleasure and, quite frankly, an honor to introduce the individual to my right, Caitlin Underwood. I don't know if she's been here before, but she is with us, getting to be about 4 or 5 months now. Oh. And she, as you might remember, Ruth Walters retired. We went through the process. We hired her. She has been an outstanding addition to our team. We're so glad to have her with us. She works on the building side. She's building administrative assistant, building tech, something like that. But most importantly, she does a great job for us. And we just thought it was important to get her to help fill in so Ellen would have some relief and wouldn't have to dance between, you know, all that other stuff. So we're glad she's here. And if all the chairmen would say aye, that would be great. No, I'm just kidding.
Is that the right term?
Chairman?
I'm sorry, is that the right term?
For what?
To approve something is aye?
It doesn't make any difference.
Because I said yes. And
That's perfect.
It's been a long day, so I don't know.
I said yes, too.
Yeah.
Yes.
As long as we know that it's an affirmation, just a simple shake of the head works for us. So we're perfect. That being said, I'll try to make my report as succinct as possible. There's a couple things I do want to go over with you, just to make sure that we're all together and well informed. Pete does send his apologies. He's had a death in the family and was unable to attend this evening's meeting and asked staff to let you know that. As a follow-up matter, on February 25th, the City Council took up the matter of the general plan. They did approve and certify, they approved the general plan, and they also certified the EIR. They did approve that less Area 6, probably most of you are well aware of that, and all the rest of it stood, and I think that is a current map of the general plan. That being said, on March 11th, I think, staff had prepared a document. It is before you. It's called the Work Implementation Plan. That plan is really critical to the city. As I presented to the council on that March date, and the council has approved this plan, it is the work plan that is basically implementing all the policies over the next year that need to be either created or, we'll either be creating policies or like amending the municipal code to incorporate all the topics within this document. It is a tall order. We're up for the challenge. We've already started, and we're pretty excited about it. It'll be a lot of work, and I guess there's two reasons I'm telling you this, and that's probably don't plan a whole lot of vacation because we're going to be really busy over the next year and probably get back to meeting more regularly. But that being said, it is a very exciting time, and we are moving forward with that as we speak. It is regrettable that CID did choose to initiate litigation against the city. That's all I'll say on that matter, but they did file for the lawsuit. Other things that are going on that I can speak to publicly are basically, if you do get a chance, on Dinuba and Orange, as well as over on I Street, there are two multiple family projects that are under construction. The one on Orange is going to be phenomenal. I can't wait till it's done. I walked it the other day. It's pretty exciting to, one, just see Hammer swinging in Reedley. But beyond that, it looks like a pretty darn nice project.
And I'm sorry, what was that, a mixed income project?
It is a what's defined as a workforce, workforce project, meaning there are subsidies available to families. But there are very stringent requirements for those families to be eligible, one of which is you're working. Several other criteria. You may remember that project came before this body, and that was the King's Commons project, probably about I think that was in January of 13, something like that. So about a year ago. So we're pretty excited to see that underway. Other than that, that's about it that I can report out to you with respect to development. I can also report to you that the Manning Bridge is going very well. If you get a chance or want a tour, let me know. I'll be more than happy to take you out there. I know the mayor's been out there. Ted, we took you out there. Right now, it looks kind of funny because there's just lots of big sheets of plywood strewn all over, but they've actually poured the end abutments, and those, I think there was a picture of it in today's paper, they're moving along very quickly, and very nicely. We're very pleased about that. The last two projects from the engineering perspective that I can speak to is the Buttonwillow Bike Path. As you know, the Rails to Trails ends down at basically Buttonwillow and Huntsman. Probably within the next 2 weeks or so, maybe three at most, the construction will be substantially completed, and that is to take construct a new segment from basically what's Huntsman and Buttonwillow going north just about to the roundabout. So we're pretty excited about that. You'll probably see and or hear kind of engineering be quiet over the next several months, primarily because once the bike path is done, you know, we're really heading into primarily a design phase in a number of projects. There has been discussion, and I think we'll probably be rolling out in the next several months the improvement to Reed Avenue that's being proposed. Basically, that's from north to east, from the railroad tracks all the way to basically the limits of the college thereabouts, Parlier. The idea would be we'd be reconstructing that whole segment through the Manning intersection, past the past the high school, and just about to the railroad tracks. So we're pretty excited about that. Like I said, we're getting ready to send out an RFP for engineering firms to come, and we'll make that selection and move forward. Next week, the council will be looking at CDBG projects. So we go on a three-year cycle. We have one more year, and so now we're trying to get gear up for the next three-year cycle. And so they'll have a bunch of projects in front of them to prioritize for us for eligible projects through CDBG. And that really does conclude staff's report. There's nothing else I'd really like to report to you at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
If you have any questions, I'm more than happy to answer them.
Questions?
The college property. Now that extends quite a bit north of Parlier Avenue. That thing goes clear up around South Avenue, if my memory serves me correctly.
Very, yes.
Way up there.
Yes, it does go way up there.
Which is ag.
It's right. All ag.
It's ag. Well, they knocked some trees down.
Yeah, they just knocked them down.
Yeah.
I wonder how, you know, I've always been kind of, as I've been driving by, I've wondered how many people know that there were buildings and facilities behind that orchard. And if they had knocked it down, I bet you nobody would have ever known.
I didn't know that was back there.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Quite extensive.
Yeah, it is quite extensive.
Well, that the headquarters of the old Reed Ranch used to be back there, and that got knocked down under mysterious circumstances.
Was it after dark?
I'm not sure. No, it probably wasn't after dark. Just the buildings disappeared that weren't supposed to disappear. And I'm not sure who ordered it, but it was somebody over probably at the college.
Kevin, do you know what's going on with that field? Do you know what the expectation is at?
No, my guess is because they do work and they have such a big ag program, it's probably like everything else. They just knock them down and start all over again. Yeah. I had the privilege of meeting and spending some time with Pete Pinner. I don't know if any of you know who he is. If you get a chance, wonderful man, great. He's a farmer. I guess back in the day, he actually ran Sun-Maid, something like that. I mean,
he was president.
Pretty sharp guy. And he gave me quite an education one day about the life cycles of orchards.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about 13 to 15 years. And because I was like, why do you pull them all out, you know? And so for production purposes, my guess was they had hit the end of their life cycle. They'll pull them out and, you know, they get the big tub grinders out, grind it all up, and then come back, level it.
Yeah, and then too, markets change.
Yeah.
So that, you know, that orchard would probably be useful for a lot longer, but there's new markets.
So if you've been, yeah, if you've been wondering, like, when you go to work, you go down Frankwood North, right? You know, you go down Reed? Well, some...
I go down Frankwood.
You go down Frankwood? No?
Any.
Okay, so if you ever, if you've ever, next time you're going down Frankwood and you're taking your wife to the schoolhouse, you'll notice on the left-hand side, they've put a bunch of orchard, like a new orchard in. Those are all like these weird-looking sticks that they look, they're probably 5 feet high, and it's just a stick. And they've got, it's a kind of interesting trellis system, because it doesn't look like the grape. That's actually kiwi.
Oh, wow.
So there's a whole new kind of variety or growth of kiwi coming in. So that was kind of interesting. I learned that last week, too. But anyway, that's all I have to report. Thank you.
Thank you. Good report.
Shortest meeting ever.
Don't you think it'd be a good idea maybe if Kevin took us all out to the to the schoolhouse for dinner some evening?
He brought it up.
He buys.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
That's
aye or yes. That's
resolution 0000.
Just bring your gloves, because we'll be doing a lot of dishes at the end of the meal.
That's great food. Okay. Any future agenda items that you want to talk about, have on the agenda? Okay, let me know if you do. The next regular meeting is tentatively scheduled for April the 17th. That's Easter week, isn't it? Easter week. Okay, we are, well, let's have a motion to adjourn. Do we have a motion to adjourn?
Also moved.
We have a motion to adjourn. We have a second.
I'll second the motion.
We have a second. All in favor say aye.
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 All opposed? Nay. Aye. Meeting's adjourned.
So I saw the article in the paper about the train.
About the train? Oh, yeah.
Just goes off at 3 in the morning just because. It's a safety issue, I understand.